Good morning. My name is Chris, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Pason Systems Incorporated Third Quarter Results Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. The contents of today's call are protected by copyright and may not be reproduced without the prior written consent of Pason Systems Incorporated. Please note the advisory is located at the end of the press release issued by Pason Systems yesterday, which described forward-looking information. Certain information about the company that is discussed on today's call may constitute forward-looking information. Additional information about Pason Systems, including the risk factors relevant to the company, can be found in its annual information form. Marcel Kessler, President and CEO, you may begin your conference.
Thank you. Good morning, and welcome to Pason's third quarter 2017 conference call. With me here in Houston is John Faber, our Chief Financial Officer. I will start the call with the highlights of third quarter performance. John will dive into the details of our financial and operational performance, and I will close with a brief perspective on the outlook for the industry and for Pason, and we will then take any questions. We are pleased with Pason's third quarter results. Pason generated revenue of $64.6 million in the quarter, an increase of 16% from the second quarter and of 67% from the third quarter of the previous year. The main drivers of revenue growth were increased drilling activity in the North American land market and market share gains in the United States, both sequentially and year over year. Revenue growth in the quarter was negatively impacted by a stronger Canadian dollar relative to the U.S. dollar. Revenue from the international business unit was flat, with improvements in Australia and the Andean region offset by a decreasing activity in Argentina. Adjusted EBITDA was $26.2 million, an increase of 35% from the second quarter and 208% for the same period in 2016. Adjusted EBITDA, the percentage of revenue, was 41%, up from 35% in the second quarter. The drivers of this improvement were the significant increase in revenue with high incremental margins and cost reduction programs that were executed during the downturn. Pason recorded net income of $8.8 million, compared to $6.9 million in the second quarter and a loss of $7.1 million in the third quarter of 2016. In addition to the factors outlined earlier, a significant decline in depreciation expense led to the increase in income. Free cash flow for the quarter was $11 million, and at September 30th, our working capital position stood at $191 million, including cash of $159 million. There is no debt on our balance sheet, and we are maintaining our quarterly dividend at 17 cents per share. I am now turning the call over to John Faber for a more detailed look at the financials.
Thank you, Marcel. As Marcel noted, we were pleased with our financial and operating results in the third quarter. We have been able to grow our competitive position in the U.S. market while maintaining our positioning in both the Canadian and international markets. Consolidated revenue in the third quarter totaled $64.6 million, a 67% increase from $38.6 million in the same quarter of 2016. Revenue growth was primarily driven by increased industry activity in both the U.S. and Canadian markets, along with an increase in U.S. market share. A strengthening Canadian dollar during the third quarter served to offset some of the revenue gains. Year-to-date, consolidated revenue of $179.4 million is up 61% from $111.6 million in the first 9 months of 2016. Adjusted EBITDA of $26.2 million was a 208% year-over-year improvement from $8.5 million a year ago and a 35% sequential increase from $19.4 million in the third quarter. Year-over-year incremental EBITDA margins of 68% in the quarter were compressed by costs incurred to meet increasing activity levels, particularly in the areas of equipment repairs and personnel-related costs. Sequential incremental EBITDA margins from the second quarter of 2017 were 77%. Adjusted EBITDA for the 9 months ended September 30th of $70.4 million is up $54.6 million from $15.8 million in 2016. Year-to-date incremental EBITDA margins of 81% remain consistent with our expectation of being able to achieve incremental margins in excess of 75% during a recovery in top-line revenue performance. Capital expenditures in the quarter of $5.4 million were up $4 million from the third quarter of 2016 and were little changed sequentially from the second quarter. To date, we have spent $11.6 million on capital expenditures, including capitalized portions of R&D and IT investments. We expect to spend approximately $20 million for the full year in 2017. Free cash flow for the first 9 months of $59.1 million represents a $53 million improvement over free cash flow of $6.1 million in the first three quarters of 2016. Net income in the first 9 months of the year of $22.9 million was a $52.2 million improvement from a net loss of $29.3 million. And I'll remind you that the 2016 loss included restructuring costs of $10.9 million. I will begin a brief discussion of segmented results by looking at the U.S. business unit. We improved our competitive position in the U.S. market during the quarter, with market share increasing to 58% from 56% in the third quarter of 2016. Market share also grew sequentially from 55% in the second quarter of 2017. Year-to-date, U.S. market share of 56% is up from 53% in the first 9 months of 2016. Revenue per EDR day of U.S. $647 per day was a 2% decrease sequentially from the second quarter as a result of changes in customer mix in the quarter. Year-to-date, revenue per EDR day of U.S. $648 is up slightly from $632 in 2016. Quarterly revenue for the U.S. business unit of $40.7 million represented 63% of consolidated revenue and was up 82% year-over-year from the same period of 2016 and up 4% sequentially from the second quarter of 2017. U.S. revenue, as reported in Canadian dollars, was negatively impacted by the strengthening of the Canadian dollar during the third quarter. For the 9 months ended September 30th, U.S. business unit revenue of $109.8 million was a 76% increase from $62.3 million in the first three quarters of 2016. Operating profit for the U.S. business unit for the first 9 months of $48.9 million was up $42.7 million over the same period of 2016. Our Canadian business unit contributed $18.3 million of revenue in the third quarter, representing 28% of consolidated revenue. This was a 70% improvement over revenue of $10.8 million in the third quarter of 2016 and a similar improvement sequentially from the second quarter of 2017. Our competitive position in Canada remains very strong. Market share of 89% has been unchanged in each of the last four quarters and is consistent with the market share we experienced through the 2012 to 2015 period. Reported market share in 2016 was distorted by the disproportionate contribution of non-oil and gas activity during the downturn in oil and gas drilling. Revenue per EDR day has stabilized, and quarterly revenue per EDR day of $1,041 was essentially unchanged from the second quarter of 2017. Year-to-date revenue of $52.8 million from the Canadian business unit was a 67% increase from $31.6 million in 2016. Operating income of $17.3 million in the first 9 months of the year was up $19 million from an operating loss of $1.7 million in the same period of 2016. International business unit revenue of $5.6 million during the third quarter was unchanged from the third quarter of 2016 and was down sequentially from revenue of $6.2 million in the second quarter of 2017. Year-to-date, revenue of $16.8 million is down 5% from revenue of $17.7 million in the first 9 months of 2016. Despite the slight revenue reductions, the international business unit posted an operating profit of $484,000 for the first 9 months of 2017, compared to an operating loss of $3.7 million in the same period of 2016, representing a $4.1 million improvement. Our balance sheet remains strong. At the end of the third quarter, we had positive working capital of $191 million. Despite the negative impacts from an increase in non-cash working capital and foreign currency translation effects from a strengthening Canadian dollar in the quarter, our cash balance at September 30th stood at $159 million. We continue to have zero debt on the balance sheet, and we are maintaining our quarterly dividend at 17 cents per share. And I'll now turn the call back to Marcel for a brief perspective on the outlook for the industry and for Payson.
Thank you, John. Our customers have learned to operate in a lower-for-longer commodity price environment. Operators around the world remain highly focused on the cost and efficiency of their drilling operations. In addition, big data analytics are a rapidly growing priority for many E&P companies. In the context of factory drilling, there is a significant value to be unlocked by correlating drilling and completions practices with the lifetime production of a well or a field. Also, many drilling contractors are looking to differentiate their service offering from their competitors through new technology. In response to these evolving customer needs, we have recently increased our investment in R&D and IT, with further growth planned going into 2018. We are continuously enhancing the functionality and performance of existing products, and our growing development efforts are focused on being a key enabler of big data analytics strategies and of drilling optimization and automation efforts. Many of our new products directly improve the efficiency, effectiveness, and safety of drilling operations and wellbore quality. Examples of this include our EPVT adaptive alarms, our AC auto driller, the ABLE directional advisor, and the deployment of the advanced Exxon drilling advisory system. We are building on our acquisition of Verdazo Analytics to provide customers with a holistic platform to analyze drilling, completions, production, financial, and operational data. Going forward, our capital expenditures will be relatively modest, with a larger portion of development efforts focused on software and analytics. We intend to spend approximately $20 million in total capital expenditures in 2017 and up to $25 million in 2018. Our highly capable and flexible IT and communications platform can host new Payson and third-party software, both at the rig site and in the cloud. The reduction in oil inventories in the third quarter highlights that the oil market is now in balance. As a result, we have seen upward movement in oil prices. Comments from several OPEC countries, as well as from Russia, suggest that the reduction of the existing production cuts, an extension of the existing production cuts beyond the current agreement is a possibility. Further upward movement in oil prices and subsequent growth in global E&P investment are possible in the medium term. This would further stimulate drilling activity worldwide. Payson's market positions remain very strong. We are the service provider of choice for many leading operators and drilling contractors, with Payson equipment installed on over 65% of all active land drilling rigs in the Western Hemisphere. That is currently over 800 drilling rigs. We are uniquely positioned to participate in the industry's growth. and we will now be happy to take any questions.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Ian Gillies of GMP. Your line is open.
Morning, everyone.
Morning, Ian.
With respect to incremental margins in the U.S., they've been slowing throughout the year. But as we think about the U.S. rig count and as we move into 18 and those incremental margins, do you think you have enough people in place now that they kind of stay where they are as we move forward, or is there an inordinate amount of cost you're going to need to continue to add where we may continue to see some degradation in those financial metrics?
If you look at the incremental EBITDA margins, you know, we've talked about the last couple of quarters, the compression has come from increased repair expense and personnel-related costs. That's been driven by increases in activity, but specifically in Pason activity. And what sometimes maybe gets a little bit masked in our U.S. market share is that the shift of where a lot of the drilling in the U.S. is happening has changed over the last number of years. There's a substantial amount of activity, particularly in the Permian now, where we've had significant increases in our regional market share. And so we've had quite a bit of ramping around activity in regions where we've been gaining a lot of market share. And that's driven some of these repair and personnel-related costs. So as the rig count now is kind of plateauing a little bit, it's likely that we can sort of see some of those costs stabilize or perhaps even retreat on the repair side. But it's largely been the last couple of quarters driven by this very regional effect of market share growth.
Okay. Thanks, John. That's helpful. And maybe following on that a little bit, I mean, when I think of Pason, I think of it being an asset-light business, yet you're highlighting R&M. Can you maybe just provide some additional detail around the nature of the R&M and why that's happening?
You recall the mix of assets is, you know, there's a hosting platform, which is a number of pieces of hardware equipment that would need to be installed to then deploy a number of software products. And so as we talk about new product growth, we talk a lot about becoming less capital intensive because of this more software-based element. But as we're gaining incremental rigs that we haven't necessarily been on, or we're putting equipment back to work on rigs that don't have Pason equipment installed, there is a hardware hosting platform that we have to deploy to those. And so some of the repair expense would be driven by that hosting platform component of the product portfolio.
So
maybe to add to that, I think it's probably fair to say too that we have not spent much on repairing and maintaining through the downturn. So much of that hardware infrastructure, servers, displays, sensors, et cetera, were simply in our warehouses over the last 2 years waiting for increased activity. And now that activity has picked up, that many of those products need a bit of a refresh, a cleanup, maybe a new software install before they go out to the field. And that's what the main drivers are of the increase in repair and maintenance spend.
Okay. Thanks. That's helpful. You note in the release that you expect CapEx to decline in 18 relative to 17 or something along those lines. But given the focus on software, should we be thinking about an increase in R&D expense or a run rate R&D expense more closely associated with what we saw in Q3, or was there some unusual items in that number this quarter?
So just to clarify on CapEx, we said we would spend approximately $20 million in 2017 and up to $25 in 2018. So it's not a reduction, it's probably a small increase. In terms of R&D spend, I think we are planning on off the order of a 10% increase in R&D spend here, some of which is already included in the third quarter, maybe half of that, and the other half will probably hit the run rate in Q4 and Q1 18.
Okay. And last one for me, I mean, I think this is the first quarter I can recall seeing any mention of completions related or tying out completions and drilling activity in Pason's commentary in its MD&A. And so strategically moving forward, is Pason looking at a way to try and add some software to perhaps gain some exposure to the completion side of the business, or am I reading too far into that?
So that comment is specifically as it relates to the Verdazo software package, which is an analytics and visualization tool for for big data, and it's fundamentally agnostic to the data source. Traditionally, Verdazzo has been focused on the production, operations, and financial side of the business, and they are now looking to add the completions and, with our help, obviously, the drilling side of the business. But it's that software package that we're talking about now in terms of completions. There are no plans at this point to start putting sensors in the field around the completion side. It's the back office analytics part around completions.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. I'll turn the call back over.
Thanks, Ian.
Your next question is from Michael Robertson of National Bank Financial. Your line is open.
Hey, morning all.
Good morning.
Really impressive EBITDA margins again year over year and also sequentially. Do you think there's room for a few more legs up on EBITDA margins moving forward, or are we sort of nearing a ceiling, so to speak?
When we talked about incremental EBITDA margins from the trough, we've talked about this notion around incremental margins in excess of 75%. And we'd noted that would be somewhat lumpy over the various quarters as it unfolded. And so we would have had quarters in excess of that and quarters that are a little below that. I think that continues to be a good target, is this north of 75% incremental EBITDA margins going forward.
Okay. Thank you. It's very helpful. Absent any like rig count increases or sort of like a flattening environment, do you guys think that like the PSI intensity per rig, so to speak, still has room to grow, or is it also sort of capping off?
So I think there are several segments here. I think in terms of drilling data, what's going to the rig site as such in terms of the acquisition, the display of data, that is closely correlated with overall rig counts, and I think that will do what the rig counts do. In terms of data management, either the feeding of the data into back office systems of the customers, into RTOCs, into EPR systems, I think we believe there's significant growth opportunity there, both in terms of increasing the ease with which data flows into our customers' back office systems and also in terms of growing the Verdazzo analytics platform. So that's the data side. Then in terms of the rig side, we believe there is room for growth around the area that we call drilling intelligence. So everything around drilling optimization, drilling automation, that's where the Exxon DAS algorithm comes in. All that is in fairly early stages of trial and deployment. So we believe that there is room for growth on both sides, the back office in terms of more data, more analytics, and the field in terms of new software tools primarily to improve drilling performance and enhance the quality of the well bore.
Maybe the additional comment I'll make here, Michael. We talked quite a bit about our customer mix being both contractors and operators, and we would have noted this quarter a little bit of pressure on revenue pre-EDR day from customer mix. You'll know we've had some significant wins on the contractor side, which sometimes precedes incremental operating revenue coming alongside. And so to the extent that that mix again rebalances, that would increase the intensity of some of the Payson products at the rig site as well.
All right, great. That's super helpful, guys. Thanks a lot. I'll turn it back.
Thanks, Michael.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from John Morrison of CIBC Capital Markets. Your line is open.
Morning, all.
Morning, John.
Morning.
Can you talk about the competitive landscape in the U.S. right now, and does the recent M&A in the oil field instrumentation market, such as Trinidad purchasing RigMinder, concern you at all that traditional customers are trying to get into your backyard?
So, obviously, the recent acquisition of RigMinder by Trinidad has not really affected market share yet, certainly not in the U.S. or anywhere. So we'll have to see how that plays out. The competitive situation in the U.S. has not really changed for a significant number of years. It is essentially a duopoly situation with one large drilling contractor largely relying on their own system as the third player. So it has been very, very stable.
Okay. In terms of the international market, would you expect any step changes in Middle Eastern market share or the number of Payson products per rig in any international market in 2018 that would give you any form of structural growth above and beyond just the typical cyclical recovery in rig activity?
So we certainly are, we're certainly working towards and hoping for a significant increase in market share in the Gulf area. Now, the business development cycles, as you know, in these markets is typically long, but we have reason to believe that there should be a significant uptick in Payson activity in the areas around the Gulf.
Okay. Can you give an update on some of the early trials and adoption rates that you're seeing for some of the new products, such as EVP, the EPVT, ABLE, the Exxon advisory system, and call it the last 3 or 6 months that we haven't talked about recently?
I don't think you're able to discuss this. They are at all in various different stages of trials, right? Some of the newest products are in technical field trials. Other are in very early stages of commercial adoption with maybe a dozen customers that are paying for the product, but they're all in different stages. I don't think we are in a position to talk about it on this call today.
I'll ask it a different way. Is the path to revenue recognition ahead or behind of your expectations, call it, versus 6 to 12 months ago?
So I'll answer it in an even different way. I think the truth of a lot of these products is it involves a lot of behavioral change in how some of the workflows happen at the rig. And so we haven't necessarily had a very sort of near-term defined revenue expectation as much as, you know, qualitative indications that we're seeing some workflow adoption and changes at the rig site. Clearly, increasing our investment on the R&D side is supported by some of the support we're seeing on trials of various products.
Okay. Can you share whether you'd expect the AC Auto Driller to add any meaningful revenue in 2018 based on the early trial work that you've done with customers?
So we believe that the AC Auto Driller as such is actually more of a middleware that is required for many installations to host the more powerful drilling optimization or automation algorithms. So we don't believe that it will be much of a standalone product per se, but they're required, let's call it middleware software layer, to deploy, for example, the Exxon DAS algorithm in automation mode.
Okay. Just to follow on Ian's question, are the rising R&M and field costs that you mentioned in the release something that was particularly inflated in Q3, or is your point of flagging them just to remind investors that as activity rises, so do costs, and it would be naive to think that incrementals can kind of sail forward at 75%+ every quarter as activity levels rise from here?
Certain of those costs would have, I think, peaked in the third quarter because a lot of that work is being done ahead of the increased activity. And, of course, the activity now is plateauing a little bit, so we wouldn't necessarily be incurring some of those at the same level going forward, provided the, again, regional basis of some of these things doesn't change and the overall count doesn't change.
I realize I ask this question every quarter, but are the competitive pressures in Canada any different today than they were 3 months ago?
No, I don't think so. We haven't really seen any change, any material change in Canada for the last few quarters, actually.
Okay. Last one just for me. Are you contemplating higher pricing across products in 2018, given the rise we've seen in North American activity levels?
The short answer is yes. And for select products, especially in the United States.
Okay. Appreciate the color. I'll turn it back.
Thanks, John.
There are no further questions at this time. I'll return the call to our presenters.
Thank you, everyone, and have a great day.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.